those of you that are here today, wave them palm branches. And those that are on Zoom, look what you miss out on. That's great. Wonderful to see you. Glad that you've come to join us this morning. If you are visiting, a special welcome to you. We're glad that you're here. Good to see you again, Steve. It's been a while. But I know you're a busy guy, too. So, but when you're here, we just know you're here. We're glad for that. And anyone else that is here for the first time today, just a special welcome to you from Harbor to Joy. I'm not going to make you stand up or anybody introduce you because I know what that would feel like. You don't want anyone to draw any attention to just yourself. But we're glad that you're here today. Thank you to those of you that are on Zoom, no matter what state you're in. Florida, I think I see Florida there. And there could be somebody in Arizona. And maybe North Dakota, I know you're there, Mom. Good to see you this morning. Palm Sunday, remember that? The wave of the palm branches, we never really got the palm branches growing up, but it was always a festive time to know that a week from today is what?
Resurrection.
It's the resurrection. It's Easter. Next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, where we celebrate Jesus coming alive again. He is alive. And you know, Bob and I have been talking a little bit of making that a special Sunday. And you'll find out what that is next Sunday. He told me not to let the cat out of the bag. It's something unusual, but you'll know what it is when you...
Will I be able to find that out before I make up the bulletin?
Even, it'll be a surprise even to you, Charlie.
Oh, all right.
I think. If you, excuse me, if you've got a bulletin today as you came in, which I hope you did, we know that you never read the bulletin. I don't know why we even do it. But in case you do get it, you don't ever read it, here's why I have to do this. I have to give some announcements of what's in there. Just remind you that there is a property committee meeting today following the service. And on Tuesday, the ladies get together for a Bible study in the fireside room. Studying the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
Something like that. So you can be a part of that. Even if you haven't been there before, you're more than welcome to join the ladies on Tuesday at 9:30. And Tuesday night, we have a church council that meets for this month. Remember, Wednesday, there is no Lenten service Wednesday night because we're going to do it on Thursday night at 6 o'clock. So don't come Wednesday night for the Lenten service because we won't have it. But there will be the Joy Kids and Joy Us Kids will be meeting right after school at 3:30 from here till 5 o'clock. So that's what will be happening this week. We will be meeting for lunch with the bunch at noon to 1. For those of you that can make it to that, we're studying the book of Jonah. And it's always a very interesting book. And the more we study it, the more we realize how much we are like Jonah. God tells us to do one thing and we go the opposite direction. And luckily, God provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And of course, he didn't know that. He thought he was going to be thrown overboard. And that would be it. He's going to drown. And then the sea would calm down because the seas were really rough because of him running away from God. And so God sent a great fish. And I don't know when he realized that he's alive and he's still able to breathe. And he turns his mind back to who the Lord really is. And he saved his life. And so we're just getting into that whole thing. I want to remind you of those that we are praying for. Oh, Good Friday service at 6 o'clock as well, this coming Friday. And then prayer requests, be sure you see whose names are in the prayer requests. There may be some that should be in there that aren't. We just don't know. But God knows your every need and the pain and the things you're going through here as well. And we're grateful for that. And so just to let you know that the last Sunday of this month is our congregational business meeting, the biannual one. And so we'll have books available next Sunday if you're here, but they'll be available the following Sunday as well. But if you want to read up and study kind of all the different aspects, the reports of things that have been happening here at Harbor Joy in the last 6 months or so. Please read that, pick one up, and I really believe you'll enjoy what you see in there as well. The ladies' luncheon is coming up. They're going to Mariachi in Spirit Lake. It's a Mexican restaurant. And so you can sign up on a sign-up sheet that's in the kitchen on the refrigerator. And just bring a friend. If you know a friend you could invite, that would be great too. Just that Mariachi needs to know how many ladies are coming so they can be ready for you and set up for you on 11:30 on the 27th of April. So make sure you get to be a part of that. Just a good way to get to know other ladies. You know how ladies are.
How are we?
And what about the men? I hear you had a good number Saturday.
Men, not so much on just one hand like this. They're not bored. Just one hand. But yeah, we had a record number of guys. That was 13 at Perkins this last time when the men's breakfast was there. So there's always room for more, but the ladies have always beat us. They've got like 19, I think, is their record. So we're out to get you, ladies. So even Dave Convey comes as well, and I get to take him home. You know, he's a hard guy to dissuade him to pay for your breakfast. But it's always kind of a fun thing to do with Dave. One of these Saturdays, I'm going to say, well, I think Dave's buying us all breakfast. So, and he won't even know. Pajama. So, those are some of the announcements. You can read what's in there. And just good to be here this morning. Glad that you have come to worship the Lord with us today. Let's have a word of prayer together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this time of the year. Even though it's Palm Sunday, we are mindful of the triumphant entry of Jesus rode in on a donkey into Jerusalem on this day. And we also enter into the Holy Week, and we also realize that within the fourth day, like Thursday, Lord, it's the Last Supper, and then the betrayal that happens after that. And Good Friday is when you are nailed to the cross, and you die for our sins. And so we are grateful for what you have done for us, because we wouldn't be here today if it wouldn't be for you. And we thank you for the salvation that you give to us, that we get to know you personally, and your Holy Spirit lives in us. And we cannot live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit in our lives and having that relationship with Jesus Christ. So thank you, Lord, for making this all happen for us. And so we look forward to next Sunday in particular, but help us to realize all that Jesus went through, and he did it voluntarily. He knew that this was going to happen to him, and it was terrible, terrible things. And so we cannot thank you enough, but we do thank you for the gift of salvation that you will give to anyone who will just repent and come to know that they need you in his or her life. And maybe there's someone here today that needs Jesus Christ in a personal way. They've heard enough about the stories, and they've heard enough messages and sermons, and they go like, Lord, I know there's got to be more to life than just sleeping, having a job, getting a paycheck, and growing old. There's more to life than just that, and there really is. And so we thank you for Jesus, that he makes our lives come alive and to do things we thought we never would ever do in our lives. But it's you working in us and through us. That's what brings us joy as well. So be with our service here today, and those who are listening to us on Zoom, work in their hearts in such a way that we would draw close to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh,
this morning. It comes from Matthew chapter 21, verses 7 through 11. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them.
A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road.
The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted,
"Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest."
Okay, that wasn't shouting. That was just... Okay. Let's do that one again. Okay, wave your palm branches and shout out. All right? If you don't have your palm branches, you're like, oh, man. Okay.
Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Wow. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?"
The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth in Galilee."
Amen. Seeing no hands, I take that as you don't. But the reason we don't have an offering is because of COVID, and you know, it's just kind of got the box in the back that we put your offerings in. And one of the things we don't want to do is encourage people that feeling guilty that they have to give if you pass the plates. And so we just kind of keep that in consideration there too. But sometimes you have music like that, it's just like, it gives us great time to pass the offering plates, but we don't need that. We just want you to enjoy the music. And let the Lord speak to your heart this morning as well. So with that being said, the message comes from Luke chapter 22, verses 1 through 6. I invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning. Luke 22, verses 1 through 6. Now the feast of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Not afraid of Jesus, but they're afraid of the people. Doesn't make any sense. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have your word before us today, and we know that your word is powerful and mighty. It is able to convict us. It is able to speak to our hearts in such a way that nothing else what we read does that, what we have here before us. So use your word today, Lord, as we just look at a little glimpse here of what takes place on this Palm Sunday that also happened many years ago, that gives us some insights and some thoughts for us to be reminded of how much Jesus loves us and cares for us and wants us to be our Savior. And so use these words today and help me as I preach them, Lord, as well. Give me clarity of mind. May I be able to speak for you on your behalf of what you want us to hear today. I pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Typically, and probably you've heard many times, when it comes Palm Sunday, it's usually about Jesus riding into Jerusalem. It's a very festive time. You've got the palm branches. You've got people shouting different things. And I was going to do something different today. I'm going to go to the kind of the dark side of Palm Sunday as we look at what Jesus faced or what was going to happen to him, all because of one of his own disciples. And if you've ever been familiar with reading about the list of the names of disciples, whenever they're mentioned in the New Testament, you'll find that at the very end, it's always Judas. He's always at the very end of the listing of all the disciples because he is kind of like the one that betrayed Jesus. And so you never find him listed any higher than the lowest one on the ladder. Keep in mind that as we think about the Passover that was coming to Jerusalem, that this is one of the feasts that all the men were. There's three feasts in the Jewish culture that you needed to make a pilgrimage. You need to make sure you got to one of these three when the time came of during the year that were feasts. And Passover was one. Pentecost was another one. And then there was a third one. What one was that? Anybody know what the third one is? There's a third one. I'm not sure which one it is offhand. I wrote it down somewhere.
Never had a problem.
tabernacle.
Yeah, the tabernacles. Feast of the Tabernacles. Those are the three feasts that people were supposed to go to Jerusalem throughout the year. At the Passover, that was probably one of the more special ones, but the Passover, keep in mind that there were thousands of people that came into Jerusalem for this feast. And so the city just grew by population just tremendously. And so that's why we find that the chief priests and the teachers of the law were afraid of the people. Because if there ever is going to be problems and trouble in Jerusalem, it would be around one of these feasts. Because you have people coming from all over, and somebody would come in and want to get on their soapbox and kind of get people to listen to them and say, well, let's start something here. And so this is a time in which King Herod Antipas, who ruled the area of Galilee, that he was in Jerusalem, and so was Pontius Pilate. Both of these guys were kind of employed and given their authority through the Roman government, which was in Rome, Italy. But they were specifically in Jerusalem at this time because they did not want to see a riot happen or something bad take place when they were in charge. But they were there in Jerusalem on this week. Their feasts were always like 7 days long. And so they knew how to celebrate when they'd have a feast. You know, we have a birthday, it's like, you know, it's just one day and a couple hours type of a thing, and that's it. The Jews knew how to celebrate a feast. And there's reasons for that they would get their minds off of themselves and look to the God in which they served, the God who did great things for them throughout their history. And they were then to draw near to the Lord or repent of their sins, or to just say, you know, it's time to get back to following the Lord like I know I should be and should do. So, but the problem we find here in our text, it has nothing to do with really Jesus. The problem is with the religious leaders that are in Jerusalem. They were afraid of the people, but these religious leaders were not afraid of Jesus. They wanted to get rid of him and find a way to do that, which they ultimately do. But they really have their priorities wrong, don't they? They should have been more afraid of Jesus than really of the people. But it was just the other way around. Earlier in Jesus' ministry, you had the Pharisees, who were also a religious group. The Pharisees believed in a resurrection. The Sadducees did not. And so in Jerusalem, you have more of the Sadducees, the group there, that was out to get Jesus. Because remember, he turned over the money changers, the tables in the temple, and kicked everybody out. And that was really the Sadducees' profit, where they made a profit. They put things in their own pocket through what these guys sold in the temple for Passover, for the sacrifice that was needed. And of course, the money changers, they always charge more than what they should have. But we find that earlier in Jesus' life, it was the Pharisees that were a problem to him. But now in Jerusalem, it becomes the Sadducees and the teachers of the law. It's kind of the lawyers that really know a lot about what was in the Old Testament. They do that like the back of their hand. And they want to make sure that they could catch Jesus somehow, to make him guilty, and that they can get rid of him once and for all, and that people would start listening to the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the religious leaders, rather than finding that Jesus is more popular than they are. And people love to hear him teach and hear him preach. We find in Luke's Gospel, that Luke mentions something that none of the other writers do. Luke is a historian. He goes and talks to eyewitnesses, he tried to get back as close to those that saw Jesus, knew what he was like, and interview them. And then he writes down the history. This is more of a historical account about Jesus from his beginning ministry you know, to the end. And Luke is a doctor by an occupation. You know how detailed doctors are. Doctors like to always ask questions. Do you feel this way? Maybe it could be this. Have you had these kinds of symptoms? And doctors are very detailed, and they should be. And so Luke, as he writes about the ministry of Jesus, he's very detailed and brings out things that other writers have left out. And one of those is this. Luke brings out how Satan entered into Judas. It was a demonic possession of orchestrating what was going on here in getting rid of Jesus Christ. Only Luke brings this out. The other writers don't. And so they're very, very happy when they realize that Judas comes to them. Because they were worried about the people, all those that come to Jerusalem. How are they going to get rid of Jesus? And everybody's following this guy. Everybody thinks he's a great person. He's a wonderful prophet. They didn't get to the point to say that he's a savior, but there's some who did come to believe in him, put their faith in him as the Messiah that was promised. But these Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, which is composed of both Pharisees and Sadducees, 72 men, like the Supreme Court of the United States, but there were 72 of these guys as the Sanhedrin that made all the decisions religiously that would affect the community of the Jewish people. They came to think that, how are we going to do this, especially this time of the year? But when Judas comes into their presence, and they realize, here is one of the 12, one that's very close to Jesus, has been with them for, you know, 3 years or a little less, the treasure of the disciples comes to them and says he's got a plan, or that he would turn Jesus over to them. And so they got together and came up with a plan. Judas is key to this whole conspiracy here. And Judas says, I can turn Jesus over to you. And you said you'd pay me something. Some money, he goes, I'll do it for 30 pieces of silver. He's given that. And then he looks for an opportune time. He knew that Jesus would be in the Garden of Gethsemane with the disciples like he usually would be. And so during the night when all of Jerusalem is sleeping, the crowds are sleeping, Judas leads a group of people down to the Garden of Gethsemane with torches and with weapons. And then the signal is this. The man that I go and kiss, that's who you arrest. They've tried on a number of occasions, at least three other occasions, trying to arrest Jesus. And he got away, because it wasn't his time yet. And so Judas says, hey, this time you'll get him, because I will identify him with a kiss, and that's a kiss of betrayal. And that's what happens. That's how Judas betrays Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. So I'm going to go back to where Luke exposes Judas's plot as the work of Satan. You know, once you give in to his ways, Satan's ways, the devil's ways, the demonic ways, once you give into him or them, sorry, I got a new mic here. I apologize if there gets to be a little, you hear me breathing, or P's or T's are strange. But whenever you give in to Satan, he will destroy your life. Because that's what he really wants to do. It may not be immediate, but in time, he will take you down. He wants to destroy you. And so we find that with Judas, if you just follow Judas's life. Judas, you know, at the end, what does Judas do? Judas ends his life. After this is all said and done, and he's remorseful, but he never goes and asks for forgiveness for what he's done to Jesus. And he ends his life in a terrible way. Peter, on the other hand, denied Jesus three times. But Jesus restores Peter because Peter has a whole different heart. Whole different heart than what Judas Iscariot had. So whenever you want to go the way of sin in your life, it might be exciting at first. We hear of it often, but just one example is just drug abuse. It can also be said of alcohol. It may be fun at first, but it can lead you to death. And literally, that's what happened to Judas. It led him to death. So keep that in mind, that once we go the way of sin, the things that used to shock us or things that we used to say, I would never do that, but once you start going down that trail, down that road, all of a sudden those things that you once said you'd never do, you do. And you pay less attention to them. But do not be fooled that you are sinning against Jesus, against God Almighty. And he says there's consequences for our sin. The only way out of those consequences is his forgiveness. We find that in the Last Supper, again, all the disciples are there in the upper room. And keep in mind that Judas has already gone to the chief priests, set up the whole thing as far as what's going to happen to Jesus. He's going to betray him. But Judas is there in that upper room with all the other disciples. And Jesus makes a statement in that room to his disciples. He says that the hand of him who is going to betray me is here. Now, let's paraphrase. He's here in this room. And he's around this table. But one of you is going to betray me. You know, Jesus did everything he could to Judas. Remember, he washed the feet of all the disciples before they had the meal? Jesus took the place of a servant. It should have been somebody else who washed the feet. But Jesus says, I will wash your feet. And he washed all the feet of the disciples, including Judas Iscariot, that night. When it came time to eat the meal, he told one of the disciples, it's the one who will dip his bread in whatever he offers him. And he offered it to Judas. And so Judas was the first one to begin to eat. When Judas came to the Garden of Gethsemane, what does Jesus call Judas? He calls him friend. And none of that seemed to really get to Judas at all. Didn't make him cry, didn't pierce his heart of saying, like, hey, what I'm doing, this guy is still loving me and does things for me that no one else would ever do if they knew what I was up to. And Jesus knew what was going on. But Judas still betrays Jesus with a kiss of betrayal. Jesus is arrested, and so things begin to go downhill from there until Jesus is crucified on the cross. And he's taken down, put in a tomb, and next Sunday we hear about his resurrection. So I want us to be mindful of some things here today. There is no alternative between obeying Jesus and then being against him. There's no middle ground. Either you follow him or you don't. And that's something for you to think about here this morning. Are you truly obedient and following Jesus Christ? Or are you not? Because you can't have any middle ground. The high priests and the teachers of the law, they forgot about their sacred office. Think of this. They were people who were supposed to be looking out that justice is done in the lives of the community of the people all the time. True justice, that no one would have injustice going on. They were the people who adhered to the covenant between God and Israel, of which the Feast of the Passover is all about. It's what God provided way back in the book of Exodus, of providing a lamb with the blood on the posts and above the doorposts. And anyone inside would be saved of the death angel. But those that didn't do that, the firstborn would die. Not only humans, but also of livestock. And so the high priests forgot about what was really their job, because they hated Jesus so much. That was important to them. They just hated Jesus. Let's get rid of this guy. But Judas, his crime is worse. And why is that? Because Judas had spent time with Jesus. A high priest and a chief priest, they didn't really know Jesus at all. But Judas did. Judas was very close to Jesus. He walked with him. He heard him teach. He saw the miracles. He was part of the inner group of the 12. And it is he who just forgets all about those things, what Jesus had done, what he had seen, what he had heard, and he joins the enemies into betraying Jesus. So his knowledge of Jesus Christ only intensifies the sin of betraying him. And then all of that, here's the last point and the end of the message. All that Judas does, God still uses it for good. Because the end result is that his son will die for our sins. He is the perfect lamb. And because of what he does, and he comes back to life, he grants and will give you his forgiveness, whatever it may be. He will forgive you today. He will forgive you if you ask for it. Judas didn't want that, or he just couldn't go to that place. So we see man's worst, and then we see God's best on the cross. Because he loves you and me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, a lot of what we've heard today, we've heard it before. There can be some here who've never heard this in kind of the same way, or it could be the first time for some. The younger ones here probably have never heard this before. And so we just ask, Lord, that Jesus would be our personal Savior. We know that we have sinned against him,
We know that we will continue to sin, but the Lord Jesus will forgive us. And he will help us that we may not repeat the same kinds of sins that we've been involved in or what we've done. And so, Lord, we just say, here I am. Take me as I am today, because you know everything about me. It doesn't do any good to try to deny that I'm a sinner, but I need to own up to the fact that I just don't always like following you. I do mess up. I am prone to sin. But I thank you that when you point that out to us, that we come to you, and we still say, Lord, forgive me. I messed up again. I will hold on to your hand tighter. I'll be more careful. But even in my carefulness, I will still sin. So just thank you for loving me and caring for me and forgiving me for as many times that I ask you to forgive me. Because only you can cleanse me of my sin and pardon me. And so just help me to live for you. Help me to live for you. In your name I pray. And so we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. The Creed is telling us that there is a triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and that it's just a very condensed form as far as a believer. This is what I believe. And you have to believe everything that says in this Creed. Or check it out for yourself, why it's so important for us to believe this. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
May we see them. Receive the benediction. It comes from us from the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 24, 25, and 26. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.
Thank you. stuff he just had to get done this morning.